Blessings, and welcome to Arms Upheld, support in life's hard battles. I'm Lynn Pierce, and I'm here to hold up your arms with encouragement, something to think on, and a prayer to focus on the one who holds all things together, while you continue to fight the battles in your life. In the midst of battle, life can feel overwhelming, challenging, or beyond. I don't know what God has called you to do, what battlefield you are walking through, but at times you may find yourself feeling this way. I want you to know that even though your battle likely looks different than mine, I'm here to support you. I want to stand with you until the breakthrough happens and you can see the victory materialize. My hope is that these few minutes we spend together will help you lighten your load, feel seen, connected, and loved, and fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's begin with God's Word. Sometime later, the woman's son became sick. He grew worse, and finally, he died. 1 Kings 17:17 of the New Living Translation. Today, we're back with Elijah. We'll spend much of our time in the New Living Translation, but I'd like to start with the ESV. In the English Standard Version, verse 17 begins with, "After this." This refers us back to what's already happened. We know from the previous verses that Elijah is in Zarephath. He's being cared for by a widow with a son through God's miraculous provision of never-ending flour and oil to eat during this time of drought. There seems to be a pattern emerging here. There's a situation, a struggle, and then God's solution. God sets the stage, invites us to join him, then shows up to blow our minds and change our perspectives. Perhaps this is the process of sanctification. Perhaps this is how we are transformed step by step into the likeness of Christ. It's certainly how Elijah seems to be growing in his faith journey. The setting is the home of the widow. Today's key player is the son. The situation that arises is that he becomes sick and dies, which gets us to the struggle. A widow's life is hard with no husband to provide for her, but with a son, there is hope that he will someday be able to care for her. With the loss of her son, things go from bad to worse. The woman cries out to Elijah, the spokesperson for God in her life, in verse 18, saying, "O man of God, what have you done to me? Have you come here to point out my sins and kill my son?" Her words reflect the questioning in her heart. She's questioning God's love and provision. God has demonstrated for some time now that he can provide for her in miraculous ways. He's basically making food out of nothing at this point. So why would she need anyone but God to care for her? We tend to have memory failure just like the widow when a new struggle materializes. We naturally default to the idea that the solution to a physical need must come through the physical. But what if the answer is beyond the physical realm? We have to train ourselves to seek spiritual help with our physical problems. It takes intention and effort to seek it out. Those are definitely muscles to exercise. The widow here is practicing. She's questioning the cause, getting to the root of the problem in her mind. What's going on here? Did my sin cause this? Or you? This likely feels familiar. We all tend to go here when calamity strikes. God, why did you let this happen? Jesus actually answers this very question in John 11:4, for the glory of God. God's glory is certain. Just because things look bad or worse does not negate that he has a plan and a purpose. We do not always understand this, Tragedies occur daily. War, death, loss, pain. They are all real and affect us. Absolutely. Yet, absolutely, God will be glorified. Somehow, He will work it all out for our good, which is what He does here. Elijah steps on stage. God's invitation to engage is accepted. Elijah asks for the sun and takes him up to the loft area where he's been staying. He lays the sun, the dead sun, on his bed. We pick up in verse 20. Then Elijah cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, why have you brought tragedy to this widow who has opened her home to me, causing her son to die?" We're back to this question of why, God, have you allowed this terrible thing? With Jesus' answer not yet available to him, Elijah does know who to seek for the miraculous. Verse 21 tells us that three times Elijah stretches himself out on the boy and prays earnestly, "O Lord my God, please let this child's life return to him." 1 Kings 17, verse 22 reveals God's solution. The Lord hears Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child returned, and he revived. God shows up. Elijah returns the son to his mother in verse 23, saying, "Look, your son is alive." In this situation and struggle, God's solution is to restore the son to life. The struggle of all mankind is solved the same way many years later on Resurrection Sunday. God shows up, blows minds, and shifts perspectives. Verse 24 tells us the woman now knows for sure that Elijah is a man of God and that the Lord truly speaks through him. The ESV says it this way, "The word of the Lord in your mouth," meaning Elijah's, "is truth." The word of the Lord is truth. Elijah's transformational journey reflects our own as we continually face new situations and struggles. God sets the stage and invites us to him. He always shows up in his perfect timing to solve the problem in a mind-blowing way that inspires us to see with fresh eyes. So what does Elijah learn with this lesson? He's already learned that God will provide for him and he is completely dependent on God, and that God will use him to impact others. Now Elijah experiences God's power manifested through him. He also hears confirmation of who he is, a man of God whom the Lord truly speaks through. God invites us to join with him in the miraculous and mind-blowing solutions he has planned. As we do, our vision comes into focus on a God of revival. We're talking on the personal level here, but this is only the beginning. There's more in store for our friend Elijah. For now, let's pray. O Lord, our God, you know our every situation and our struggles. You have a solution in mind, but invite us to join you. How glorious it is when we accept that invitation, but all glory is forever yours. You open our eyes to new perspectives. You open our hearts to truth. You revive us. Each of us individually and collectively. Thank you. To you be the glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for spending a few minutes with me. Your time is precious and I appreciate it. We're going to be hanging with Elijah this summer and seeing how his journey can help us reflect and grow stronger in our faith as we continue to fight our hard battles. I hope you will stick around to hear more. If you'd like to read on your own, Elijah's account begins here in 1 Kings 17 and continues through 2 Kings 2. I'd also like to invite you to check out my recently launched website at hlynnpierce.com. It's one more way I can connect with you. You can claim a copy of my Prayer Victory for free by subscribing to my twice monthly encouraging email called A Taste of Tranquility. This is to help you step from the swirling winds of life's storms into the eye for a moment and refocus on our anchor, Jesus. I hope to see you there. As always, your battle may look different than mine, but let's stand together. I'll keep your arms upheld until victory is real in your life. Remember, God is for you, and so am I.